The IKEA Business Network is now open for small businesses and entrepreneurs. Join for free today to get access to interior design services to help you make the most of your workspace, employee well-being benefits to help you and your people grow, and amazing discounts on travel, insurance, and IKEA purchases, deliveries, and more. Take your small business to the next level when you sign up for the IKEA Business Network for free today by searching IKEA Business Network.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I am so excited about my guest today. Now, we're going to be talking to the women business people and entrepreneurs in the world, but gentlemen, you all have those important women in your lives, so don't tune out because you are a very important part of this process also. So please join me in welcoming April Roberts to our program. Welcome, April. How are you?
Hey, Deb. I am phenomenal, and I'm super happy to be here.
I love it. I love it. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this because we're going to have such a fun discussion. So as a high-achieving former attorney and financial advisor with degrees from Vanderbilt and Notre Dame, April Roberts understands the societal pressures facing women that often lead to burnout. She hosts the podcast Vixen Voice, where she shares stories of Gen X women that have shed the traditional definition of success to pursue their life's true passion. She is also the founder of Vixen Gathering. And as she has on her screen, for those of you who are seeing it, she is the head vixen. So again, April, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. I tell you, Deb, I think you and I are a lot alike. I wake up every day on my knees in gratitude and I finish on my knees in gratitude. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing how life becomes mm-hmm. magical.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, I tell people when I wake up and I'm not looking up at 6 feet of dirt, I'm doing good.
Yes. In fact, it was funny. Yesterday, I shared with you, I was recording my podcast mm-hmm. and we had a lot of challenges mm-hmm. like sick guests, mm-hmm. guests with no power due mm-hmm. to the hurricane, technical issues, and I'm fasting at the same time. So talk about delving into your emotional reserves, right? Yeah. So I was just like, I'm trained for something. That's right. How I think about it. Right. So you keep on trucking. And then it turned out to be a phenomenal day. And I had lots of big wins. Mm-hmm. So you got to focus on the positive. That's how I
definitely
prefer to live.
Well, and that is so often what happens, especially with women. We are doing so many things, but it's also built into our DNA to adapt and go, okay, fine. You know, I was sharing, I have no AC in my office today. So I might get a little blow to me here going on, but right. We just go on. We don't whine. We don't carry on. Or if we do, maybe we whine with a glass of wine. That's even better. Right. But you know, I mentioned your bio and it's absolutely fabulous, but I always like knowing from my guests how they got to where they are today. So how did you decide to kind of toss away you didn't toss it away because it is part of who you are, but you know, you're not an attorney anymore or a financial advisor. You are the head vixen. How did you decide that being the head vixen is where you want to be at this point in life?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And for sure, it was a journey, mm-hmm. not a set moment in time or decision, as happens to most of mm-hmm. us. So I can say I was blessed. I think it's a combination of how I was born and how my parents okay. raised me, that I'm always striving for happiness in mm-hmm. my life. Mm-hmm. Like that's probably my top goal. So when I find myself less than happy, I get back there. You know, they always talk about how the uber rich can lose everything and they're going to mm-hmm. be rich again in no right. time because that's where their mindset mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of like that with happiness. I just think, you know, we're put on earth to enjoy our lives. Of course, we're here for a purpose. We're made perfectly imperfect for that purpose. So the more we embrace like truly who we are and run with it, the more successful. But, you know, I think my story is kind of typical of my generation. And I know you're the generation ahead of
me. I'm a little older.
And so you're like, you're my parents' generation. But what's interesting is because you guys work so hard, being your children, you wanted the best for us, right? So the dream was go to a good college. I went to Vanderbilt, check. You know, I went to law school at Notre Dame, check. We'll talk about that. And, you know, I think, I mean, my dad was the first person in our family to even go to college, right? So I'm only second generation. And of course, my parents wanted that next step for me. And I'm a person, I mean, honestly, I like to win, Deb. I like to be happy and I like to win. And I've accepted that about myself. You know, I shared with you, I'm fasting. And last week I started this journey and I only lost like 2 pounds. And so I was talking to my wellness coach and I was like, she was like, why are you rebelling? And I was like, I don't know. I just don't want to do this. And then I realized it's because I didn't get the results I wanted, right?
Didn't work.
I'm like, so I'm like, okay, doing it again this week. We're going to get the results, right? So I had to reframe my mindset because I really am a results-oriented person. And so anyway, bottom line, you know, it was, I was the nerdy kid. Like I guess an anomaly because I was super social. I was out having fun. I was doing the bad stuff, but I was also every Saturday taking practice ACT and SAT exams. So I don't know how much of that was me liking to win and getting results and how much was it my parents' path of success for me, but I think it was a combo. And, you know, so kind of went to Vanderbilt. Honestly, I wanted to be an English teacher and my parents said, well, you can come home and get an education degree. Like, we're not paying this tuition.
Yeah, we're not paying Vandy prices.
But they have the fourth best education program in the country. And I'm like, okay, what's next? Okay, well, I want to be a writer. Again, you can come home. And then it was like, well, I want to teach, you know, engineers and scientists like how to communicate better because they're brilliant. So I want to get a PhD in communications. Again, my logical success-driven parents were like, that didn't make a ton of sense to them, right? And so I kind of got driven toward law school and I had thought about being a lawyer and communication is a skill of mine. So I was like, okay, I'll go be a litigator, right? So I go to Notre Dame and, you know, I get there and Notre Dame was top 10 in litigation. So I was super excited to go there. They had a year abroad in London. So again, I like to have fun and I like to win, right? Like this is just how I am. And I always second guess myself for being that way, right? I was like, why do I want to have fun? And why am I lazy sometimes?
We're supposed to work hard and not have fun.
Exactly. And even I remember my boyfriend in college saying, you are the smartest woman I've ever met. And you're also the laziest. Like, how are you saying this to me? Right?
Yeah. And how are you able to continue with your classes?
Right. Because, you know, I just feel like if I didn't want to do something, I didn't do it. And, you know, later I share this journey because as we learn ourselves, the more powerful we can become, especially we women, because like you said, we are adaptable and that can be our superpower or it can be our kryptonite, right? We want to adapt for our purpose, not adapt to please people.
Right.
And, you know, later in life, I took the PRINT assessment, which told me I was an 8-7. An 8 means you're super self-driven and a 7 means you want to have fun and enjoy life. So
which made
like,
sense.
Okay, I'm not crazy. Like this is who I am. So anyway, I go to Notre Dame and literally I was like, I'm not going to be a lawyer. And after 1 year of them cramming all that stuff in my head, I was like, I'm going to use this. Because my parents were like, just get a law degree. It's practical.
Just, you can do something different later.
How many times were we told this kind of stuff? And then I went to practice law that summer and I went home to Mississippi. So it was a smaller firm and they actually let me do legal work. And I was like, wow, this is fun. My brain likes this, you know? So anyway, I went on and somehow, even though I enjoyed law school, I got a job with the largest law firm in Atlanta, where you live now, King and Spalding. And I was on their business litigation team, which was like the premier team everyone wanted to be on. And I'd like, you know, the thing is, I enjoyed it. For 2 years, I enjoyed my life until I realized the work I was doing. And when I would look at the partners and what their life was, which is what I should aspire to live, I was like, I don't want that life.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I feel very blessed that by the age of 25, I kind of understood this. And so I like the intellectual part of my job. I didn't find it soul fulfilling. And I already was feeling that soul call at that age. But of course, I didn't know what else to do. So I always ask if you want the 2 minute or 10 minute version. So pop in at any
time. Keep going. Keep going. We got lots of time.
So I just remember, you know, what happened was I fell in love, and I fell in love with an Italian, and I met him in a club in Chicago, of all places. So our story was we were going to tell our kids that we met in church, but that was not what happened.
Especially the Italian Catholic.
And so I met him. He went home to Italy and literally emailed me every day. He asked for my email. And we emailed every day, and we fell in love by writing. And, you know, this doesn't exist in today's world.
No,
we were basically writing love letters. Yeah, exactly. So by the time we saw each other again, we were in love. And then we're like, oh, what do we do? You live in Milan. I live in Atlanta. He came to visit me. And then he went home and he was like, forget it. I'm moving to Atlanta.
Aw.
And I was like, oh, okay. And it's so funny. I've never shared this story, but I love it because times are so different. I remember calling my mom saying, what do I do? Like, he wants to move in with me. And I was like, dad'll kill me.
Yes,
you know, because I was always told, like, you don't live with someone before you get married. Like, I was a good Southern girl. And my mom's like, what are you going to have him do? Move in the apartment down the street, April? And I was like, okay, fine. So anyway, that happened. So, you know, what happened was someone I loved came into my life. So really, all these issues you see get magnified. And I think that's why most of us make life decisions, especially women. You get married, you have children, you know, your parents get sick, all these things happen. And and like you said, we're adaptable, we adjust. So we were literally going through the immigration process, we'd gotten married. And at that time, it was very difficult. And it was, you know, it was this period where he couldn't go home until he was approved for his green card.
Right. Yeah, because it would mess up the timing. And
yeah, like, you're not allowed to leave the country. And I don't know if that's still the way it is, but like, they won't let you back in if you leave while things are pending. And so, you know, we were stuck in that mode, which was fine. But then his grandfather got sick. It was the person who he was closest to in his life. And I just looked at my husband, who looked devastated. We're in the immigration attorney's office being told, you know,
you can't go be with him.
Sorry, you can't go. And I just go, I looked at him, I said, well, I guess we're moving to Italy. Yeah. And honestly, that's why we moved to Italy. So he went a month ahead of me to get us our apartment. And, you know, he had to leave because he couldn't stay here if we weren't continuing with the green card process. And I spent a month because I was the responsible oldest child, tying up all my cases, like taking care of things, selling our stuff, like getting ready to move. And it's interesting because that time was miserable, because can you imagine being a newlywed and your husband is now across the world? And I know plenty of people go through this, right? But it's tough.
And technology was a little bit different.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Our cell phone bills were astronomical. Like, that was painful. So that's how I ended up in Italy, which was interesting because, again, you know, total A-type driven, like to win. No one wants to give me a job. My American law degree is not good in Europe.
They're most like, you do what? This. No.
Yeah. So I apply for like legal secretary, legal assistant, like all these other jobs. And then they're like, you're overqualified. You're like, for that. And I'm like, what the heck? I literally have degrees from two of the best universities in the United States, and I cannot get hired to save my life, right? And so anyway, we'll fast forward but I ended up teaching English. And I
that was what you wanted to do.
And so I was teaching English to lawyers, executives, you know, adults. I taught at Berlusconi's Publishing House, which was interesting. And And it gave me a key skill because, mm-hmm. you know, you've had this podcast forever. Mm-hmm. And Deb, you know that active listening is a skill, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And you have to hone it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was teaching English 8 hours a day to mm-hmm. non-English speakers. Mm-hmm. I got darn good at active listening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so fast forward, basically, again, life changed. Unfortunately, my husband, who I love very much and who was a wonderful person, mm-hmm. had addiction issues that Ooh. He couldn't kick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so after a couple of times of cleaning up, mm-hmm. you know, I found myself emotionally, physically, mm-hmm. and mentally depleted.
Well, and your support system over there would have been maybe yes. non-existent.
Well, I had angels for friends, thank mm-hmm. goodness. But yeah, I wasn't that close to my in-laws. Mm-hmm. I didn't have family. You're mm-hmm. so right. And you know, this is important because I look back because I coached the five pillars of Vixen. And mm-hmm. I was like, if 27-year-old April had these five pillars, mm-hmm. like I would have survived this time better.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't think. And I just don't want other women to end up broken mm-hmm. like that, because mm-hmm. sometimes it comes out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Right. You've been winning mm-hmm. and something happens. I just did an interview. I was on another podcast mm-hmm. And I had her on mine, and she was sharing about postpartum and mm-hmm. how that changed
right.
her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's so important that we women talk about these things
mm-hmm.
because
right. because like they are normal and they are natural, and there's nothing wrong with you.
Yes. And it totally can change your life. And it's important that you reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what's interesting. When I was in this position, I learned who was truly on my side and who was mm-hmm. not.
Right.
Right? And mm-hmm. I believe in forgiveness. Everyone's mm-hmm. forgiven. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, that's when my journey of boundary setting started mm-hmm. because I was like, okay, I'm at the lowest point of my life mm-hmm. and you're supposed to be one of my best friends
right.
and you can't be here mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. So pretty much you're taking mm-hmm. the April energy, but you're mm-hmm. not giving anything.
Right.
So
oh yeah. I discovered that when I got cancer. It was like weird, right? The people you think would be your biggest support system aren't. And sometimes the people that you didn't even know knew you existed are the ones that step up.
Totally. And not only do they disappear, mm-hmm. but sometimes they get triggered.
Right.
I remember my best friend calling mm-hmm. me and yelling at me for something when mm-hmm. I'm going through this, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, mm-hmm. that's fine. But, you know, I was blessed because I share with you, I do spiritual healing as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I very much feel we're here on purpose. And mm-hmm. I talk to God now about mm-hmm. my purpose right. all the time, which is mm-hmm. the Vixen gathering and the work I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, that moment in my life where all these people disappeared, thank mm-hmm. goodness I have amazing parents. I have an amazing family. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to go back home, but you know, here I went to Vanderbilt. I went to Notre Dame.
Right.
I
you didn't want to go
prestigious
back
firm
to
in
mommy's.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was an Italian housewife for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I find myself living in my parents' home at like mm-hmm. the age of 32. Like I was like, how'd this happen? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is I actually sold Arbon during that time mm-hmm. and MLMs get a really bad name, but
Arbon's a very well run organization.
Yeah. And absolutely. And you know, what I loved was it connected me with other women. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'd been
right.
a lawyer. I
mm-hmm.
was like, there was one female partner out mm-hmm. of 40 on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of my best friends since law school had been men.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have a couple of female mm-hmm. friends, but it really reconnected me with mm-hmm. my feminine side mm-hmm. and with having the women in my life. And I reconnected with a lot of female mm-hmm. family members, like cousins, aunts, people I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun, and mm-hmm. it kind of saved me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, kind of if you think of that spirit, that's what I bring mm-hmm. into the Vixen mm-hmm. gathering and mm-hmm. the work we do, working with female entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So I share all of this because, I mean, our journey really does mm-hmm. lead us to where we
right.
are. Because
right.
becoming an active listener, mm-hmm. even though, you know, I was making 14 euros an hour, mm-hmm. I think, teaching mm-hmm. English, which
Yikes.
Was ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? Like, then I became an amazing financial mm-hmm. advisor because of that. My clients mm-hmm. were like, gosh, you remember everything. You hear mm-hmm. everything. Like, my clients really trusted me because mm-hmm. of my listening skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then now as a coach, mm-hmm. a consultant, and a podcast host, mm-hmm. what's my key skill? Mm-hmm. Listening, right? So that came up. And if I hadn't had that experience with Arbonne, I wouldn't have understood mm-hmm. how fun it mm-hmm. was when you get a group of women in a room.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's the early journey. Mm-hmm. Basically, I became a financial advisor in between mm-hmm. for 16 years, mm-hmm. built my business to multiple seven figures, mm-hmm. sold it last year so mm-hmm. I could go full time in this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was another journey as well. Starting in 2017, I started having visions. And, mm-hmm. you know, you shared that you've had a life, and have you here? I've had a life too, mm-hmm. right? Different right. ways. Mm-hmm. But you know, by that age, I understood what I call the 2x4 rule, which is, God or your higher self or mm-hmm. the universe, whatever mm-hmm. you believe in, you know, it kind of whispers mm-hmm. to us when mm-hmm. we're off track, and then it gets a little louder. And if mm-hmm. we don't listen and take mm-hmm. action, we get that nice 2x4 in the forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walk.
Mm-hmm. And I had already had that in my marriage mm-hmm. and, you know, other experiences. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so 2017, this vision showed up. Mm-hmm. 2019, it came back. Mm-hmm. The third time it came to me was April of 2020. Now, remember.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just in a little shutdown mode then. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm running a team. Mm-hmm. I'm running a financial team. We're in an economic crisis. Mm-hmm. We're suddenly a remote team. We've mm-hmm. never been before. Mm-hmm. And my parents are in my business with me too. Oh, mm-hmm. and by the way, my dad got paralyzed that summer and had to have surgery. Thank goodness he's mm-hmm. not anymore. So I just remember I'm reading this book and the vision came to me for the third time. And mm-hmm. I just remember looking up and going, really? Right now? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously?
It's not really a good time.
So, you know, that year I knew the 2x4 was coming. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I had to keep my team motivated. Mm-hmm. I had to keep my clients literally from mm-hmm. jumping off cliffs, letting mm-hmm. them know they were okay. Mm-hmm. I had to manage their assets mm-hmm. well, which thank goodness we did. Mm-hmm. We actually doubled our business in an 8-month period mm-hmm. because we doubled down on taking care of our clients. I don't know if you remember, but before that, a lot of things were becoming commoditized mm-hmm. and it's happening yes. again, mm-hmm. right? And suddenly people appreciated being seen as human beings mm-hmm. again. So mm-hmm. I just told my team, I was like, hey, this is what we're good at. Let's right. double down mm-hmm. and show up for our clients. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, we did it. And it's amazing mm-hmm. how your business booms when you treat people mm-hmm. like human beings. Mm-hmm. So all this is going on. So this is the beginning. I started seeing a spiritual healer mm-hmm. and he started working with me on my boundary setting because mm-hmm. obviously I had a lot of mm-hmm. balls in the air, mm-hmm. right? And I had to protect myself. So, mm-hmm. you know, I love when, and look, I was just guilty of this Monday with my wellness coach. I was mm-hmm. like, I just don't have freaking time for this, mm-hmm. right? We all right. say it, mm-hmm. but it's a choice. You and I talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And into the 2020, with all this mm-hmm. going on, I still found an hour and a half a day for meditation and prayer. So wow. 30 minutes in the morning, mm-hmm. 30 minutes midday, 30 minutes end mm-hmm. of day. Mm-hmm. And Deb, honestly, it saved my sanity mm-hmm. and allowed me to do all of these mm-hmm. things. So again, we all fall in this trap of mm-hmm. I don't have time. Mm-hmm. So I became kind of a boundaries expert in the time mm-hmm. management. I call it time, energy, and confidence mm-hmm. management because I think these are our key assets. Mm-hmm. And normally we're setting boundaries to mm-hmm. protect these things, mm-hmm. right? And other important things. So I just think boundary setting is so important mm-hmm. in being an entrepreneur and living a good life. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so that's how the Vixen Gathering was mm-hmm. born in the midst of that chaos. And I got to go full time mm-hmm. March of last year. So wow. I'm super excited. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Well, why Vixen? Why did you yeah. name it Vixen Gathering?
Great question. So actually, I had someone helping me with branding, mm-hmm. and it was a man who came up with that name, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Jimmy, so I give mm-hmm. Jimmy credit. Yeah. And the reason was the vixen, the female fox, is mm-hmm. the only species where the female is more attractive than the male. Mm-hmm. So they attract in the mm-hmm. male, mm-hmm. which is the opposite of most species. And if you look at the characteristics of a vixen, mm-hmm. it's very compelling for
a little sassy,
you know,
a
savvy
a little,
businesswoman. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the second reason I loved it was I think we tend to take ourselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. So we need to have a little fun.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. You know, and so much to discuss now and pick apart. You know, it's so interesting because, I think we as women mm-hmm. put ourselves second. in so many cases, because we're nurturing, we're doing whatever. And, you know, and you talk about boundaries and, you know, I discovered when I set up my business many years ago that I had to absolutely have boundaries, you know, because a big part of it was people went, well, you work from home, therefore you work 24/7. And I would say, no, you know, and at that point I told them, I said, now I have office hours, just like anybody else has office hours,
right?
Which they ignored. So then I told them in a way that affected their pocketbook. And I said, you know, I am more than happy to work evenings, weekends, and holidays, but it will cost you double. Now that got their attention, right? But I also learned that I had to respect those boundaries myself. Now, do I read emails nights, evenings, weekends? Yes. Do, you know, I was just on vacation. I worked the entire time. You know, and but it is one of those things where we have to realize, okay, can it wait? And most times it can. You know, that doesn't mean we stop thinking about it. You know, we're still going, okay, well, I'm going to respond. I'm going to do this, this, and this. But it is about setting those boundaries. And, you know, and I always laugh when people say, we need a work-life personal balance. Well, no, that never happens because balance is 50-50.
It doesn't exist.
Right? Yeah. You know, and nothing's ever going to be 50-50. You know, you might hit that 50-50 on your way to, you know, but yeah, it's not, we are not going to have that. And so it is about how do you set things up with both your business and your personal life in a way that works for you. Because it changes. You know, there are times where, you know, you're going to do more work. There are times where you're going to have more fun. But it's all about, those are your decisions. Or as you said earlier, those are your choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And the key word you said, it's up to you, right? Mm-hmm. Like you do a work-life balance that works for you.
Right.
And, you know, that goes back to my driving purpose. I really think that God made us all perfectly imperfect for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like we're here to fulfill a purpose. Mm-hmm. That's why I explained my 8-7 story. Mm-hmm. And like when I took the Colby assessment, it was another mind blown because I'm like a 3-3-9-4, which the two threes are fact-finding and due diligence. So it's like, what the heck was I doing being a litigator? Like I would have burnt out and like I'm a 9, I'm a visionary. I like to come up with ideas and I need other people to execute, right? Like it's so funny. And when you understand these things, you become more successful.
Right.
Because I know I hate follow-up. Like if I had to write a ton of follow-up emails, like if you're a client and I write you a long follow-up email, I really love you or this really needs to be done.
There's a problem.
This is not part of my wheelhouse. So we've limited how many consulting clients I bring on. And that's a way I set boundaries, distinguishing consulting and coaching, right? And we can talk about that. And so I limit to X number of consulting clients because they require more follow-up. Right.
They need more hand-holding.
Yes, and they're paying more. And I ain't good at follow-up. So now I have like an amazing executive assistant who I stole from a music company here in town. She's coming on board. And when we get our system set up for follow-up, guess what? I can take more consulting clients, right? But it's too important to me to deliver value that I'm not going to overpromise and under deliver.
Right.
So I've had to actually limit that leg of revenue in my business and actually an activity I really enjoy because I really love getting to know my clients and getting to know their business and all of their team and being on site and setting goals. So, you know, because I know myself, I had to get the team and the system set up so that we can go win in that area.
Right. You know, and one of the things that you talked about that I love is that you got someone to help. You know, so many times we think, I got to do it all. You know, whether it's I'm the business owner, so I'm, you know, I'm in charge, or we think, you know, it's I can't ask anybody else for help because then it's going to show that I don't know what's going on. I do a lot of volunteer work. And one of my primary people that I was talking to, it was so funny. I was whining, back to the whining part, right? I'm doing too much. And, you know, we're just doing this back and forth on messaging. And her response was, I have one word for you, delegate. And it's really hard for me because I'm a type A. Now, you know, you're an oldest, I'm an only. And so, right, you know, we're used to just having to do it. And, you know, and plus, if I have somebody else do it, they might not do it right. Or, oh, they're going to do it their way. Well, you know, when I figured out, they might actually do it better, you know, heaven forbid, right? But when I learned to delegate and get people used to it, right? That was the other thing, because they were used to saying, hey, Deb, will you do this? Knowing that I would. And so, you know, that's that boundary again, right? Where I would say, well, I can, but. And I was talking to one of my guests on my podcast, and she said, you know, you have fabulous people working with you, working for you, volunteering for you, all of those things. Honor them by allowing them to do what they're good at. Yeah. And that really struck me, obviously, right? Because it is one of those things, you know, my producer is really, really good at, you know, contacting the guests beforehand, coordinating the schedule, doing all of that. Could I do it? Yes, I used to before I had the lovely and talented Kim, but you know, she's really good at that. And so it's like, you know, I honor her by allowing her to do that. Now, every once in a while, something happens, you know, but she's, you know, she is so wonderful about keeping me posted. You know, she's got something going on in her life where I may not, you know, she's got kind of a family thing going on where I might have to step in and do some of her stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Family always comes first, and it should. So I am more, but I'm thinking, oh, but she's so good at that. I don't want to have to do that, right? But it is about finding our team of supporters who are going to allow us to grow.
Yeah. Well, and also setting boundaries in communication and time, right? So, you know, there's tons of ways to set boundaries, but, you know, you have to be very clear of, hey, I'm available at these times. I'm not available at these times. I'm available via these means of communication. I am not available via these means of communication. Because right now we have people burning out because you might get a DM on LinkedIn, a DM on Facebook, a DM on Instagram. Then you have your community chat.
And my brain shorts out.
Have text messages, and then you have email. And like yesterday, I was like, I don't even remember where this person scheduled a meeting from because she scheduled it direct with me. And I'm like, this is why I have an assistant. I don't even, I can't even, like, it took time and energy to realize where I could communicate with this person. Right. And so, you know, I had to do, I have a lot of clients who've become friends and friends who've become clients. And I literally had to tell my mastermind group, I was like, hey guys, I know we're all friends. I love that. That's a dream of mine. I never thought I would get to live this life. However, when you're talking to me about friend things, you can text me.
Yes.
When you're talking to me about business stuff or you need me to coach you, I need you to DM me.
It to be in one place.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think that people really think about laying those boundaries about modes of communication.
And we don't want to make people unhappy.
Yeah. Well, you make no one happy if you try to please everyone. So
yeah. Because if I'm going, I don't remember you saying that, then they're going to be unhappy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just like, hey, so that we can serve you better, could you please do it this way? Like, it's always for their benefit, right? And not, hey, I can't talk to you on text. Like, it's all in how you present it and the reason why. And that's a huge part. You know, we were going to chat about boundaries today, but that's a huge part. I don't think that people really prepare to set boundaries and they don't prepare to have the conversation setting boundaries, right? And let's be honest, like when it's something we don't want to do or we don't feel great about, we all default to the easy route.
Right. So we don't do it.
Right. So if you're not prepared, then you are going to fall prey to, oh, it's okay if you text me, right? But if you think through, hey, how do I communicate with my clients? How do I communicate with my friends? And then you can clearly articulate that. Because, you know, I had this aha months ago. I'm sure you're like me. Like we, you know, I kind of joke with my clients. I'm like, if you're working with me, like you're going to have a better life and you're going to make more money. Like if I have to drag you across the finish line. Like I told you, I'm resolved. will. Oriented, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we're going to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like, okay, but I realized I was doing all this extra stuff for them. And then the aha was when mm-hmm. I realized the definition of consulting versus coaching.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm doing consulting work for them mm-hmm. and they're mm-hmm. paying me coaching pricing. Right. Now, my consulting hourly rate is twice my coaching mm-hmm. hourly
right.
rate, right? And so I was like, oh, well, this is simple. We're just mm-hmm. doing a new division of the company.
Mm-hmm. Right. If that's what they want, then we will offer it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make it mm-hmm. easy for me
right.
to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was talking to a coaching client the other day and she was like, hey, maybe you could research this. I said, I totally would be happy to. Mm-hmm. That's consulting. Like, mm-hmm. go check out our consulting yeah. packages mm-hmm. and buy a couple mm-hmm. of hours and mm-hmm. I'm happy to do it. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, oh, okay. Or I could research it. I'm like, mm-hmm. perfect. That's a great solution.
It's your choice. Like,
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I set that up so that I quit over serving mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. protect myself.
Right.
So a lot of times we have to set boundaries mm-hmm. to protect ourselves, mm-hmm. our time, right. our confidence, our mm-hmm. energy. Sometimes we set them to protect our goals, mm-hmm. right? If we're right. constantly doing what other people mm-hmm. want, we're not moving forward mm-hmm. on our goals and serving mm-hmm. our purpose. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we set them to protect people we care about. Mm-hmm. Like there right. are boundaries to protect my team. There right. are boundaries to protect my family.
Right. Like yeah. I don't do evening meetings unless I absolutely have to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you said, life changes. I mm-hmm. had a realtor client and she has two young kids. Mm-hmm. And so we just rearranged her schedule right. where, you know, from mm-hmm. 5:30 to 7:30, mm-hmm. which is dinner and bath time, mm-hmm. like she's not available.
Right.
And then when she puts the kids to bed, she mm-hmm. goes and pulls mm-hmm. out the emails because,
right.
you know, unfortunately mm-hmm. she is a realtor. She mm-hmm. does have to get back mm-hmm. to her clients. And then she just communicated to her mm-hmm. clients, hey, if you reach out to me in these periods, I'm right. going to get back to you at 8:30.
I'm right? not ignoring you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
And so once you set these boundaries, mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. really, you know, if mm-hmm. you explain to people and you show them how it's valuable mm-hmm. for them, hey, look, I could answer mm-hmm. you from 5:30 to 7:30. My main focus is my kids. So
right.
you're not going to get the right. best answer mm-hmm. from me. Mm-hmm. But if I answer you at 8:30, mm-hmm. you're going to get 100%
right.
of me.
Right.
What's the client going to mm-hmm. take? They mm-hmm. want 100% right. of you, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and the important thing is once you communicated it, keep it. You know,
yes.
if you told them, I'm not going to respond between 5:30 and 7:30, then don't respond. Obviously, there are emergencies, you know, and, yeah. and so that is different. But yeah, if you have said, you know, I'm not going to respond, the first time they send something, it is not, oh, I need to respond now. No, you know, and do whatever you need to do to remember to do it. I mean, you know, if you're on email, you can set it to send later, you know, all those things, or maybe you put your phone down and you don't check your email during those times, right? You
know, well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
No. I haven't had email mm-hmm. on my phone since 2012 mm-hmm. or 2014.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Darren mm-hmm. Hardy, mm-hmm. who he teaches yep. insanely, what is it? Insane productivity.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And he was like, you know, at the early mm-hmm. age, he was like, you're going to get distracted by all these devices. Mm-hmm. So I've had these things in place. But I agree with you. I'm just thinking you're not even looking at email from 5:30 to 7:30. So there's no choice. And then if there is an emergency, they can reach you in another way.
Right. You know, and you can glance at it, you can do whatever, but yeah, just, you know, and I tell people, if it's an emergency, that's what you need to preface it with.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to pay attention. You know, I have clients who send me things after 9 o'clock at night. That's perfectly fine. I have told them I'm not going to do anything with it until the next day.
Yeah.
But if it is an emergency, then you need to tell me, oh my gosh, this is an emergency. Because then I will go, oh, okay, I need to do this. Now I might look at it and go, no, it's really not, right?
Yeah, yeah,
your
yeah.
emergency and my emergency might be a little bit different. But, you know, yeah, it's about that. And so it's setting those boundaries ourself. And it's funny because before the program, we were talking about, you know, what all are we going to talk about? One of the hardest things for women is to love ourselves. And that is a big part of this, saying no and knowing it's a full sentence. It is not no, but, you know, right? Or not even saying no. But it's about knowing that when we love and take care of ourselves, we're more able to take care of everybody else.
Oh, yeah. You're giving from a full cup. Mm-hmm. And if you're an entrepreneur or a business mm-hmm. owner, you know, I mean, this is what I get hired to speak mm-hmm. about all the time and brought on podcast mm-hmm. is your time, energy, and confidence are the key assets right. of your business. Right. And they must mm-hmm. be protected. Mm-hmm. And it extends beyond your business. Mm-hmm. I like to use the analogy that women are usually the foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, one, if you own a mm-hmm. business, you're the foundation mm-hmm. of your business.
Right.
Women are usually the foundation of their family, mm-hmm. the foundation mm-hmm. of their home, mm-hmm. often the foundation of mm-hmm. communities. And so if the foundation is cracked, mm-hmm. how right. well is that going to go for yeah. everyone? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you have a duty to love mm-hmm. and take care mm-hmm. of yourself. Right. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual person. Mm-hmm. So I believe we have that duty because we're children of God right. and we've mm-hmm. been gifted this mm-hmm. body to live in. Mm-hmm. And it's my job to mm-hmm. take care of it mm-hmm. to the best right. of my ability. Mm-hmm. But also because we do love and we do give mm-hmm. and we want to take care of everyone mm-hmm. around us. Like you, it's impossible mm-hmm. to take care of them if mm-hmm. your foundation is cracked.
Right, right. You know, it's, and it's so interesting because, you know, I've learned through, you know, all of the various trials and tribulations that I have had in dealing with health issues mm-hmm. that when I hit that wall, it's like, nope, we're done.
Yes.
You know, now can I push past it? Yes. But then I get even sicker, right? Yeah. And so people know when I say, nope, not going to happen today. It's not that I don't love them or that I don't, you know, all those various things. It's, I need to take that time off in order to then be better later. You know, and, but it is about recognizing that because we want to keep going. You know, we were just at this big family thing, so much fun, you know, big family wedding, all sorts of things. I still took time to nap in the afternoons mm-hmm. and people went, yeah, but no, it's my time to, yeah, but no, you know, I need to go to the hotel. I need to lay down and relax for a while mm-hmm. because if I don't do that, I'm not going to be any good to anybody. You know, and it is hard, right? Because, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, all the family's here. I want to see all the family, but no, you know, and the same thing comes with your business. I'm in charge. I have to go to every meeting. I have to read every email. I have to. No, you don't.
Yeah. Well, and if you feel you have to do everything, mm-hmm. you don't have a solid business.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. you have a single point mm-hmm. of failure in mm-hmm. your business and right. it's you. Mm-hmm. So that's why we build teams. That's mm-hmm. why we build systems. Mm-hmm. That's why now we use right. automations mm-hmm. because things have to continue mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. us. And I like how you say, so first of all, I hate how you say you push past your limit, but that's a whole nother talk. You and I can chat about mm-hmm. that offline. But you know, I get it. Like we all do that at some point. But I think when you start honoring the smaller mm-hmm. limits, right. it helps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do retreats mm-hmm. and quarterly retreats. And the first night we have a welcome reception. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited to see each other mm-hmm. in person. You know, everybody wants to talk. And mm-hmm. literally every time I'm like, okay, ladies, I hit my wall.
We're done. We're done.
And like, because mm-hmm. I literally feel when mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and it's not like I'm done, I'm exhausted, I'm mm-hmm. depleted. It's just like, I'm not wanting to be as friendly and mm-hmm. articulate right. as I
need. Yeah, I'm feeling that little edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like they kind of laugh now, like the women that have been with me for mm-hmm. the last year and a half, they're mm-hmm. like, it's time. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, it's time. Mm-hmm. See y'all tomorrow. Bye. Right. Mm-hmm. And like it's kind of like a little joke. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know. And they all have their things too. Mm-hmm. Like one of them, I know, loves taking baths because she's away from the family and the dogs and stuff. So like mm-hmm. if we have a room with a bath, mm-hmm. I make sure she gets the room right. with the bath.
So she can right? go like, and relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the beauty of women coming together. Mm-hmm. If we look in history, right? Like how many, you know, like sewing circles, mm-hmm. like all the women right. came together and did beautiful mm-hmm. things and took mm-hmm. care of each other and supported mm-hmm. each other. And I think we can recreate that mm-hmm. in ways and modern mm-hmm. society because mm-hmm. now we have more responsibility mm-hmm. than ever, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important mm-hmm. to find a community mm-hmm. that you love to hang with, mm-hmm. you know, be it a family, mm-hmm. be it a mastermind, mm-hmm. be it a collective, mm-hmm. maybe it's like colleagues at work, maybe mm-hmm. it's your best friends, mm-hmm. but like you need that space mm-hmm. where you know and honor each other. Mm-hmm. And this group should be your biggest cheerleader. Well, mm-hmm. one, I believe you should be your own biggest cheerleader.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That kind of goes
back
along
to self-love. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then this group should be your biggest cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. They should be your accountability partners mm-hmm. and they should celebrate your wins with mm-hmm. you because you know, I know you work with a lot of high achievers mm-hmm. too. High achievers do not stop and smell the roses.
No.
Like one great mm-hmm. way to build your confidence mm-hmm. is to celebrate your wins, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Like I annoy the crap out of new people because mm-hmm. they'll be like, I'm like, oh, so nice to meet you. What's your biggest win this mm-hmm. week? Like, that's my right. like, you know, mm-hmm. cocktail conversation mm-hmm. because like, I want to know something mm-hmm. interesting right. about you mm-hmm. and I want to know what's great mm-hmm. in your life. But yeah, so I just think it's so important. And you kind of talked mm-hmm. about that earlier, like surrounding yourself with the right people. Mm-hmm. I think that right. was before we mm-hmm. went online, like mm-hmm. knowing that you're in charge, but mm-hmm. then also surrounding yourself right. with mm-hmm. the people that honor
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, I'm going to be away from the office next week. And so I yeah. sent an email to my team and I said, just so you know, or just a reminder, right? I'm going to be out. Everything should be perfectly fine, but you needed to know. And of course, and it's all women, not by design, just because, yeah, that's yeah. how it happened. But of course, they all immediately, what can we do? And, you know, and I said, hopefully nothing, but I have full faith that no, you know, if you need to step in, it will be fine. And because I recruited people who I know can immediately step in. And I think that's one of the hardest things is thinking, okay, can somebody step in? Now, do we like to think that we're irreplaceable? Well, of course, but you know, it is also, I know somebody else can do this. They're going to do it different. They might do it better. They might do it, you know, not as well, but does it really matter? A lot of times, no. You know, it's giving them that opportunity to just step into their own light. Yeah. and be able to say, okay, I can do this, you know, and it's gonna be perfectly fine. And then for me to not stress over it because I know this wonderful group is perfectly fine. You know, hopefully it's not needed, but you never know.
Well, and then forget about it and trust. You know, mm-hmm. it goes back right. to earlier. You said mm-hmm. you might still be thinking about it, but mm-hmm. I would argue, why are you still thinking about right. it? Like that's wasted energy.
Yeah, because they'll just do it. Well, and yeah. it's important to not be going, everything okay? Everything okay? Everything okay? Anything I need to be doing? Everything okay? No. Just say, okay. And whether it's that you're out for what vacation, whatever. I remember I interviewed a gentleman, many years ago when we were on this podcast. And he said his biggest accomplishment was when he was able to go on vacation. Now, he has thousands of employees. When he was able to go on vacation and not worry in the slightest.
Yeah.
And he said that was really hard, but he also knew that everybody he had working for him were more than capable of doing it. And he told him, he said, obviously, if it's an emergency, this person can contact only this person. You know, you gotta go through mm-hmm. that person. So it wasn't, ooh, right? And he said, everything else is fine. And he knew that person was really going to be the gatekeeper. She was going to say, nope, you know, it's about having faith in those people. And if we don't, then we need different people. That was one of the things somebody told me during COVID was I'm not with my people. I'm so worried that they're not getting the work done. And I said, well, if they were in your office and you were there hovering, were they getting the work done? And mm-hmm. if the answer was yes, then I said, you know, they'll still get the work done. If the answer was no, then I said, you got a different problem. And that was the thing was we know that they're there. We honor them and we trust them. And if we don't, what do we need to do to fix that?
Yeah, no, I agree. And so many business owners hesitate to take time mm-hmm. off right. and just high achievers right. in general. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because I met Michael Hyatt. He was a speaker at a very small conference mm-hmm. I was at. So we were in Napa. So we kind of spent mm-hmm. the weekend together and I was chatting with him as I was starting the Vixen Gathering and I still had my financial planning company. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not sure what to do. And he said, April, take a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The best way to test yes. your business and if it can exist
see what
without
happens.
You is mm-hmm. to take time off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like summer of 21. Mm-hmm. And by that point, we'd gotten through 2020. I'd been doing all this stuff. Like, I didn't have burnout in 2020, but it hit April of 2021. Mm-hmm. Like, we had that big freeze in Texas. I was frozen in my house for a week. Like, all this crazy stuff happened. So finally, I was like, okay, I'm feeling it. Like, I need a break. Like, we're over the hump. And so I took off the month of July. And here's what's interesting. My top advisor at the time, who wanted to buy into the company, I was like, okay, here's what
you here's your chance.
When I came back, he quit because he realized he couldn't fill those shoes, right? Or that, that it wasn't what he was fit to do. And that's fine. But then I was like, well, crap, there goes my exit plan. And then I was like, I guess I'm sticking in this business. But then I got so addicted to the sabbatical and having more control of my time that with my drive to do what I'm doing now, really, you know, it's very difficult to decide to exit and sell a company.
Right.
You have hundreds of clients dependent on you. You have your team. My parents were in the business with me. And, you know, I was making this decision for all of us and, you know, trying to find a win-win situation is a very lonely endeavor. And so you have to really have compelling reasons to do this.
Right.
You know, you kind of asked at the beginning, what led to you changing everything? And I mean, the seeds were planted and the sabbatical really sowed it because during the sabbatical, I was working on my new business and I wasn't working on the old. And I was like,
you weren't taking a sabbatical.
I like this so much. Well, I was doing the marketing and stuff, the fun stuff. So, you know, it was a sabbatical from that business. And so, you know, I think we have to honor ourselves. Like a lot of times the pause gives us the answer, right? It was the same thing when I went through my divorce, my life suddenly paused and I would go for long walks every day. And I remember just looking up saying, okay, I'm over this. Send it to me. Within 2 weeks, I had a job, a house, a boyfriend, like it was crazy. But I mean, it really, it was the first time in my life I could slow down and think about what I really want in my life to be and what my purpose was. And so, and if you don't set boundaries, you don't have the pause.
No.
You don't have those quiet moments.
Right. And those are just absolutely critical because, and we have to do it or the 2x4 happens, right? Yes. You know, you get sick, painful. You lose your job. Yeah. Whatever it is. You know, and so, yeah, we don't want people to get hit by the 2x4. You know, when I was at my doctor and they said, oh, you have cancer, I literally told them, I'm sorry, that's not in my schedule. And she, of course, looked at me and went, well, it is now, you know, and, but we don't want hit by those 2x4s because those 2x4s hurt, you know, and so it is about, how do we do this on our own? You know, and like you said, the boundaries, I mean, you know, and when I started my business, I had to do those on the personal side too, because people said, well, you're home. So you can go out to lunch. You can do the laundry. You can do, you know, I'm like, no, you know, here's, and is it, it's a balancing act. I mean, you know, it, that is more what it is, but it is about going, okay, well, I worked 9 hours yesterday, so I'm going to go to a movie tomorrow, or, you know, all of those things. And which is of course why people think, oh, I'm going to be my own business, you know, because they think we're going to have more flexibility. No.
It's like, well, you know, I do believe in designing your business around your life, if you're in control. But I mean, when you're starting a business, you're in the stormies. Any new endeavor, you're in the stormies, and it's a rough ride. I mean, this is my third business in the last year. You know, I was doing that. I was training to be a spiritual healer, and I was like, everybody's like, are you not dating? And I was like, I don't have the emotional capacity left for that. Like, I'm good for now. You know, as soon as things clear, I'm happy to start dating again. Like,
and that 2x4 may whack you and you'll go, ooh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's like seasons of your life. That's how I like to think. There really is no balance, right? But in this season, I'm focused on XYZ. And when that's done, next season, I'll focus on ABC. And I'm okay with that.
Right. You know, and back to that word flexible, right? We need to look at it and go, okay, well, I might think I'm going to do ABC, you know, in next quarter. Well, maybe not. You know, I think one of my favorite sayings is, you know, we think and God laughs, or we plan and God laughs. That's it, right? We plan and God laughs. you know, okay, so we are flexible. We go with the flow. We do whatever it is that we need to do, but we have to think about why, right? And yeah. You know, back to that original thing, what is the choice? Because, you know, sometimes that choice is really, really hard. You know, the choice to get divorced, the choice to sell your business, the, you know, all of these various things, but it is still a choice we make. And by not making a choice, that was our choice also. And so I think that's one of the tricky things to remember.
Well, and I find people have such a hard time wrapping their head around this concept, because I shared with you, I've had this conversation a lot lately. It's come up. And but what they don't realize is when you understand everything is a choice, it is the ultimate freedom.
Right.
As I shared with you, every day for me is magical, even the challenging days, because it's like, okay, but I chose this. Like, this is my choice.
Right.
And I'm a paid professional, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you understand that everything is your choice, that God gave us free will, then it's so incredibly freeing.
Right.
And I don't know, people hang on to that security blanket of
fear. Oh yeah, change is scary. Ah!
Yes. Agreed.
Right. Well, oh my gosh, April, we could go on forever. This is why I always make sure we set a timer. So I want to know more about the Vixen Gathering. It's not just a bunch of ladies sitting around gabbing. Tell us more about it, because I know that there are people who are saying, we need to know more.
I love it. Thank you. Yes. So right now in the Vixen Gathering, we basically have two offerings. One is the one-on-one consulting, and I really limit to five clients because I go deep with them. So I recently had a client that I suggested she go a different direction because she needed some done-for-you work. So I do have an opening there. And then we also have the Vixen Founders Collective, which my goal is for it to be the ultimate business coaching and consulting, personal growth, and networking community for Gen X female founders. And of course, it's so funny. My hair and makeup artist joined and she goes, but I'm like 30 something. Can I join? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just say Gen X because we don't get any attention, right? But like, you know,
it's,
we have
it's
a baby
boomers, it's millennials.
We kind of all come together. So, but that's really the purpose. And so most of it's virtual. We meet an hour and a half every week for coaching and consulting. We have special experts I bring in. And then we have quarterly retreats that you can choose to join us at as well. And so that is super exciting and fun. And what I did was roll in my mastermind curriculum and my small group coaching. And so the curriculum is actually high performance coaching. I'm certified. And I've seen so many clients double and triple their revenue so quickly and live a better life. And so I blend that like with my intuitive knowledge. And so the real goal is to make more money and have more joy, peace, and love in your life. And that's what we're striving for. So it's amazing. I love it. And the women in it are inviting their friends to join us because they love it so much. And so we're kind of self-selecting and
very cool.
So that's the great thing. And you know, you pay and you're in it for a year and then you can decide if you want to join us again next year. We keep it really simple.
I love it. So how do they find you?
Awesome. Well, I'm going to share the link with you for the Founders Collective. So I'd love to chat with anyone interested. A great place to find me is at Vixen Gathering on YouTube. That's where my podcast sits. And I actually do solo coaching, so you can get some free coaching. I also have a Facebook group, Abundant Business Women. I'd love to have you join. And of course, you can join. You can find us at Vixen Gathering on any social media platform.
I love it so much. You know, and again, ladies, we need to do this for ourselves, because when we make ourselves better, then we are able to help those around us. You know, when we've run ourselves, you know, that candle at both ends, no, it just burns out, you know, or falls apart, you know, all those various things. We have to take care of ourselves. Let's be honest. It's not always that somebody else is going to take care of us. You know, we need to take care of ourselves. So I love this concept. I really love this. You know, and as April said, vixengathering.com, podcast, blog links, all sorts of stuff there. So please make sure that you go there.
Awesome. Yeah. And I just want to add one thing. So I love it because, you know, we have testimonials and things, and I love to say the ones where they've doubled and tripled their revenue. Mm-hmm. But my favorite are when they say, you changed me, my family right. and my life. Right. It's really, like you said, so mm-hmm. that you can show up as mm-hmm. a better human being, right. More in love with yourself mm-hmm. and more in love mm-hmm. with everyone around
right.
you.
Right. Yeah. Because sometimes doubling and tripling your income is not what is best for you. You know, and so, yeah, it's so important to know what it is that you want out of life. Well, oh my gosh, April, this has been so much fun. And like we said, we still have more things to chat about. So we'll have to do that. Until then, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I do. I always say the world needs more love. So how are you going to show up more loving to in the world today and this week? And first and foremost, because we're talking about self-love and boundaries, how are you going to show up more loving toward yourself?
I love it. Well, I am Deb Creer. I've been having such a fun discussion with April Roberts, the head vixen at Vixen Gathering. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.